to the street stores.
If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Acts, the second chapter. We're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, and then verse 36. As we think about these, it begins that process of us looking at how we're going to tell the old story in the new year. Now, I'll have to admit to you, when I was growing up, I'd get a whooping for telling a story. I mean, that was just standard procedure. That Mom and Daddy had a way of figuring it out before I could even get through it. They knew whether it was the truth or not. And then when you telling a story, you had to pay the price for telling the story. So it took me years to come to grips with how telling the story. We also have found one of the most effective tools now in witnessing in other parts of our world, and even in the United States today, is telling the stories of the Bible. When you go into the Bible and you begin to study it, and especially as you look at the parables of Jesus and the things that were said by Jesus, they become a part of a story. And as you tell the story, it creates an interest. It creates a desire to learn more. Years ago, I heard about the organization that was sharing the Jesus film. And they were going all over the world, and they had the Jesus film interpreted into other languages. And they were in a part of the world that the Muslim culture was the strongest point, and they were showing the story, the Passion of Christ, on the video screen. And when they came to the crucifixion, the people literally picked up rocks and threw them at the video screen and tore it up because they could not see and could not stand for Jesus to be crucified because of all the good he was doing and all the teaching he was doing. So telling his story has to be important. And telling it the way it is recorded in Scripture can be very important. I will admit to you, my accountability partners and I are 2.5 years in studying the life and ministry of Jesus. And it's been the most powerful study I've ever been a part of. We take a passage, a paragraph, a section of Scripture, and we will study it for a week. We're led by R.A. Torrey's questions. And sometimes he'll have 200 questions on 10 verses of Scripture. And as we look at it and we study it, we find out so many things that are so powerful about the story of Jesus and the life of Jesus. It's powerful. And it has revolutionized how I think about Jesus when I look and read Scripture even today. How about stories about Jesus? Have you heard any? There are two that come to my mind. I'm going to narrow it down to two, but two that come to my mind. 9/11 was a very, very devastating thing in my life and ministry. I'll tell you more about it next week when I tell you my story. But as I found out afterwards, there was an organization that met on the top three floors of one of the towers that was called Cantor Fitzgerald. And this large worldwide organization had multiple staff up there. One of the staff members was called the Rev. The Rev was a layman from New Jersey. And he was a very powerful witness for Jesus, and they called him Rev. His name was Al Barkay. And as he was tell the stories of Jesus, people would flock to him. He ministered to them. He cared for them. The planes had hit the tower. The floors under them were burning. The smoke and heat was building in those floors above them. All of the staff in that office had got onto their desk, and they had asked the Rev, tell us about Jesus. He was sharing the gospel. Many of those people called their families, and they were talking to their families, and the families could hear Rev talking about Jesus when that tower fell. That was a powerful story that I heard. Then I remembered a story from 40 years ago. Some of you may have already heard me share this story. But in a pastor in eastern Pennsylvania had a number of people that worked in a steel mill. And one day in that steel mill, they were moving that large kettle with hundreds of gallons of molten steel across the building to pour it into those devices that would form the steel beams that would be used in construction. And there was a man walking with it, telling people out of the way, be careful, watch, hot, you know. And as they were walking along, something happened and that thing jiggled. And gallons of steel rolled off the side and it hit him. He's lying on the floor, dying. He knew he was dying. And as the crowd had gathered around him, he said, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. I heard the story because the pastor of a local church said that day his chairman of deacons came in, torn all to pieces, didn't know what was going on. The pastor said, what's happening? What's going on? And he called a man by name and said he was killed at the plant today. And as he died, he was begging us to tell him about Jesus. And the pastor said, oh, I know you could tell him about Jesus. And he said, pastor, my life at the plant prevented me from talking about Jesus. You see, he was talking the talk at church, but he wasn't walking the walk at the plant. Those are two stories that have etched into my mind about people telling stories about Jesus. Can you tell somebody about Jesus? That's the question we have to face. Acts 2, verse 22 said, fellow Israelites, listen to these words. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. Though he delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you use lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. And God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because he was not possible for him to be held by death. And then verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Father, help us understand Jesus as Lord and Messiah, in charge of our lives, the boss of our lives, in control of our lives, the Redeemer of mankind, the one promised from the very beginning that you were going to sin and allow to die and pay the price for sin. And as we understand that, Father, begin to identify in us people today that need to hear the story of Jesus. And let us begin to think about them and how we can share the gospel to them. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Are you telling Christ's story is the question I ask. The story that we're looking at today takes place following the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord. It was 40 days after the resurrection that Jesus ascended back to the heavens, and his last words were, stay in Jerusalem and pray until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. 10 days after his return to heaven, the Holy Spirit fell and his power was evident to all who was in Jerusalem. The disciples began to speak intelligent languages that they had not learned, and telling the story of Jesus, and performed all kind of miracles under the power of the Holy Spirit. And that day, 3,000 people were saved. The world was forever changed. People do not know Jesus' story. Did you know living within 10 minutes of this building, there are 50,000 people? 70% of that 50,000, or 35,000 people, are living without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That means 7 out of 10 people you will see tomorrow are lost and will spend eternity in hell if Jesus comes tomorrow? What will happen if Jesus comes tomorrow afternoon? How many of your family members, how many friends, co-workers will spend eternity in hell because you did not share the story of Jesus with them? How many will not share eternity in heaven because they never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I want to remind you, his story changes people. When they come face to face with Jesus and begin to know him as an individual, there is a true experience with Christ that will change the way they live, their attitudes, their actions, their thoughts, their motives, and they will be forever different. The disciples preached Jesus and people found their story credible and believable, and they saw their lives forever change. You and I know people that become believers and that are freed from addictions. They are freed from guilt of sin. Their minds and their are released, and their horrible pain and memories are dealt with in such a way that their life means something different to them after they found Jesus. The USA today, our nation, the United States of America, which we love to proclaim as a Christian nation, is the third large mission field in the world. Only the nations with more lost people living in them is China and India. Do you get that? We can't say we are a Christian nation because we are not Christians. The overwhelming majority of the people may say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but they don't trust him. They don't believe him to the point that they've given their hearts and lives to him, and they serve him day in and day out. It will surprise you how many people do not know Jesus today or his story. I'm not talking about people in Africa or South America or the Middle East or the Far East. In fact, some of the fastest growing places in the world with the gospel that is exploding are in those very places we think are the darkest. They have believers that are living in their faith day in and day out. And those people are now sending missionaries to the United States to share the gospel with us because we don't live like we have a knowledge and understanding of the gospel today. You see, we must tell the story of Jesus in our country, in our community, on our jobs, with our friends, and in our families. The eternity of the family and the friends depend on us telling the story. I think I've told y'all that a belief is something you hold. A conviction is something that holds you. And I've had a conviction for over 50 years that people without Jesus Christ as Savior will spend eternity in hell. Jew, Gentile, American, Asian, African, European, red, yellow, black or white, rich or poor, Republican, Democrat, Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal, Methodist, family members, enemies, friends, neighbors, foreigners, people without Jesus will spend eternity in hell. The Bible is very clear about that. Peter said Christ was attested to. He was verified by God. The fellow Israelites listened to these words. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. So many of those people had witnessed the miracles. They saw what God did in Jesus. The life of Jesus, of an itinerant traveling preacher. He was one that did not just preach, though. He did many miracles as well as disciple 12 men to follow after him. The Gospels are full of things that he did. The people came from miles around to have him heal them or heal family members. You name it, he healed them. the lame walk, the blind could see, the deaf could hear, the mute could talk, the demon possessed were freed, the winds and waves were still, the lepers were cleansed, the cripples walked, the deformed hand was straightened, the dead were raised, he was killed on the cross, and he rose to life again. He walked on water, he fed 5,000 men with a little boy's lunch. He could do anything. Make no mistake about it. God attested, he affirmed, he verified that Jesus was who he said he was. The Father even declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him," when he was baptized. You see, Jesus was used of God. One night a teacher of the law came to Jesus to talk to him about the many things that Jesus were doing. His name was Nicodemus. You know you are from God. We know you are from God because no one can do the things that you do unless God was with you. This was a good Pharisee saying this now. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus said, you do things that God tells you to do. And Jesus told Nicodemus, in that process of the discussion, you must be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God. How can an old man be born again, he said to him. Can he enter into his mother's womb again? Jesus said, no. There is that water birth, the physical birth, but there is the spiritual birth also. And as a good Jew, you have to be born again to know and experience what I am offering so that you can enter into the heavens and be a part of God's throne for all of eternity. Now, other people were used of God too. You can read the Bible and you can see other people share Jesus' story. One day, Jesus and his disciples were traveling. They went through the area called Samaria. Samaria was a bad place. Jews did not go to Samaria. They did not go through Samaria because of the racial tensions and the divide of different religions that were there. But Jesus and his disciples find themselves in Samaria, and they come to a well, and Jesus sits down on the well, and the disciples scurry into town to find food. And while they're gone, this woman comes to the well. And while she's at the well, Jesus said, "Give me a drink." And she was indignant. "What? You a Jew asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" There was the mother, the woman-man thing to begin with. But then there was the Samaritan and a Jew. And she went on to tell him about how they worshiped different gods and how that well was so special because of how it came into their life. But Jesus told her, "Man, I can give you water that you will never thirst again." And before it was all over with, she ran back into town. And she caused such a stir that everybody in town came out to meet this Jesus that this woman had told them about. "He told me everything about myself." Oh, make no doubt about it. When Jesus touches a life, people talk about it. After that conversation, her life changed, and she brought others to meet Jesus like no one else had in that area. Now, I'd ask you, what would your death say? After the death of Jesus, God moved the disciples with the Holy Spirit to tell the world about Jesus. Not long ago, I was at a funeral, and at that funeral, the messages, the testimonies, the witnesses about the person who died was being celebrated. There was great joy as they talked about her and the life that she lived. And you know, everybody spoke about Jesus and her relationship with Jesus. He loved her. He cared for her. He saved her. She loved him, and she became a saint in the sense that she committed her life in obedience to live for Jesus. What about your funeral? Will they talk about the Lord Jesus? the life that he lived through you? Will people hear about Jesus as a result of your funeral? Is your life and testimony being used by God to draw others to him and his son? Are you telling his story? You see, we must tell why Jesus was crucified too. Not just the fact that he was crucified. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you use lawless people to nail him to the cross and kill him. Why in the world would God send his one and only son to die in the cruelest death that was known to man, a Roman cross? Why would God make him a pauper to be born to a peasant family and live such a humble life? Why would he be rejected by the religious leaders and the focus of the death plot and his crucifixion? Why would those things happen? Why would God allow that thing? We have to learn that bad things happen to good people. Jesus knew no sin, but he lived in this world for 33 years and did not sin. There was never anyone who was as holy and as kind as he was. No one ever loved like he loved. He did not have a home or a place to lay his head, he told his followers. He was not a rich man. He did not charge for any of the miracles he did. No one ever did the mighty miracles like him. He was righteous and a good man. Why did he die? That's the burning question of his disciples. Why? Why? A person driving under the influence of alcohol and drugs and driving recklessly or some stupid action and killing someone else, we ask, why? Why? Or today, someone with a mental or psychological problems takes a gun into a crowd and kills innocent children, women, and men. We ask, why? Why could this happen? Where is God? Does he not care? Our world has gone astray. The last week of Jesus' life seemed to go so far astray. The happenings did not make sense to his followers. With all of his powers, with all of his abilities, he seemed to just let the wicked people take advantage and control him. Why not just sweep them away by the wave of his hand and destroy them all? But he just stood there and did not do or say anything. Like a lamb before his shearers says nothing, Jesus didn't even make a noise. The religious leaders killed him on a Roman cross. He nor God the Father said or did anything to stop it. Then he was buried in a borrowed grave. Who will deliver me? The Apostle Paul stated in Romans 7 that he did things he did not want to do, and he could not do the things he wanted to do, serving God. Like you and me, Paul's caught in a body that he fought with daily. There was an ongoing struggle with sin. Paul declared, "But thanks be unto God, because Jesus delivered me from sin, death, and hell that he deserved." Paul said he was freed from the body of sin because Jesus died on the cross. And then he was resurrected from the dead. And Jesus offered him, Paul, eternal life because of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension back to the Father. And there awaiting the Father's throne in command, go get the children and bring them home. We, like Paul, can look forward to his appearing if we know him as our Lord and Savior. Oh, we can be sure, we must declare, God is always in control. God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held in death. I think I've told y'all, in the fire department, we did many EMS calls, and it never failed. When we came to a person that had a heart issue and we did CPR on them, if their heart started beating and they started breathing again, I would start crying every time. All the other guys would make fun. Watch the preacher. He's going to cry. We had in a funeral one day, a lady had a heart attack and died. And they were doing CPR on her as we cleared the church for the EMS personnel. And as they rolled her out of that church and headed for the hospital, I didn't think I was going to be able to go on with the funeral because I was weeping, physically weeping, standing in the back. And one of the other preachers were holding me, trying to calm me down. Because once again, death had invaded our ranks. But I came to realize God is in control. She, like the person that we were preaching the funeral for, was a believer. And in a few days when we did her funeral, I could share that with others. You see, Jesus could have called the angels to set him free. Why did Jesus and the Father let them do these terrible things? Why did he let them kill him? Because God's purpose was carried out. God had a plan in place before the foundation of the world. Before he ever spoke the first word, "Let it be," he had a plan for Jesus. His one and only Son would die on the cross and pay the price for man's sin. Paul said in Galatians 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born from a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth into our heart the Spirit of his Son, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" You see, Jesus came at the right time, in the fullness of time. He was the right age. He had the right followers. He did the right things. He preached the right sermons. He healed the right people. Everything that he did was right, but he still died because it was God's plan. If he had not died, you and I could not know the forgiveness and cleansing of sin. Because when we stand before God, it would still be my sin. Oh, God's power is always available. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. Well, he wasn't going to stay there very long. For in just 3 days, he rose from the dead. The power of the living God invaded that dark tomb that was his grave, that had been sealed by the Roman government, that was guarded by Roman soldiers, and quickened that dead, broken body to life again. And Jesus came forth, and he's alive yet today. Oh, you see, the living God was in control, and he could not be held in the grave or in hell because of my sin. Death could not hold him. When you become a child of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God becomes a part of our life. Sin and death can no longer hold you. Paul tells us in Galatians again that in Ephesians, that the reality of the Spirit is God's mark of ownership. It is God's guarantee of eternal life and God's down payment on heaven. So we're a child of God. We have God in us. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet blast of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive will remain and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall forever be forever with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Do you see Paul writing to Corinth and said, then we who are alive, they expected Jesus any day. Oh yeah, it's been 2,000 years. But it may be this afternoon. We don't know. He just promised he was coming. You need to understand the last days that people talk about, they started when Jesus ascended. They began there and they're happening now. You and I can go at any minute. Not just in death, but we can go to heaven and be with the Lord Jesus at his return at any minute. You can be raised from the dead with all the believers in that day, or you can be caught up now with him. Jesus is the only provision for salvation. There must be a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus to be able to share eternity with him. There are people that say, oh, there's all kind of ways to God. All you have to be is spiritual and you can get to God. You can follow any of the religions and get to God. You won't get to my God. You won't get to my Lord. You won't get to his heaven because there's only one way. There's no other name that will save. Acts 4:12, there is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's the only way. No other way. You see, there are not many ways to heaven. And the Bible is very clear on that. Peter said the best said it best when he and John stood before the religious leaders that day. There's no other way. The Father planned one way. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate. But the question is, will you tell his story? We tell a lot of stories. And I'm not talking about the bad ones either. I'm talking about good ones. My question to you who profess to be a believer, would you tell his story? The song says, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. Do you love to tell his story? Do you know his story? Can you sit down with someone and share the story of Jesus? Can you tell them how they can come to faith and be accepted of Jesus as the Lord and their Savior? Can you tell somebody else how to become a child of God? One of the good examples, I've been using the Roman road, but I want you to look at the three circles. The three circles is another way of telling the story. As you look at it, God had a design when he created the heavens and the earth. When he formed man and woman and placed them in the Garden of Eden and would come in the cool of the evening and fellowship with them. He had a design. But they followed the suggestion of Satan, that snake in the grass, and they sinned. As a result of that sin, they were separated from God and brokenness came to them. They were broken and separated from God. Now that brokenness we try to fix in some other kind of way. And it can be alcohol, drugs, it can be people, it can be jobs, it can be hobbies, it can be anything that we would want. We try to use that to find how we can know God and serve God. We want another way. But to realize there is only one way. And that is that you come through belief and a repentance. You repent of your sin and you believe on Jesus. And he can become your Savior. You accept the gospel, the story of Jesus. You embrace that story. And as a result, then you begin to recover from that brokenness and that separation from God. And you have a relationship with Him now. That not only is it a relationship, but it's fellowship. I've shared with y'all, I have a daughter that we have a relationship, but we don't have fellowship with. There's a difference. And people don't come worship or does not spend time studying the Bible and reading and praying. They don't have fellowship with God. Is it any reason they go off the path? Is it any reason they get confused? Is it any reason they separate themselves from the people of God? Because they don't have fellowship. When we hear the gospel, accept the gospel, embrace the gospel, then we're going to recover and praise and move back to God's design for us. Next week, as I tell you my story, you're going to hear how God saved a 10-year-old boy and made his life different. Different than he could ever imagine. Maybe you've heard and received the story of Jesus in the past, but you're not living like it. Maybe today is a time of renewal. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done in my heart and life. I want to serve you. Allow me. As we look for leaders for this year, maybe you need to step up and say, I'll do that. I'll be that person. I'll take on that responsibility because I want to serve my Jesus. Or maybe today you need to become a part of this church fellowship and the way that she receives members, that you can embrace the Lord Jesus and begin to tell your story and His story to a lost and dying world. You need to think about that. Have you identified someone that needs to hear His story? I hope you leave here today with one that we are going to call Who's Your One? Who do you know that needs to know Jesus, that needs to hear His story? Then begin praying for them and looking for an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Are you praying and looking for an opportunity to share the story of Jesus and His love? Maybe today that's your commitment. I want to tell others about Jesus. Will you tell Jesus that? Would you challenge us as a church by coming forward and just allowing me to pray for you as you seek to tell His story in the new year? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to hear Jesus' story. Thank us for the opportunity to accept and embrace Jesus' story. Thank you that you give us the courage and strength and ability to tell His story to others. And I ask you to move in our midst now and call people that need to know you, people that need to accept Jesus, people that need to commit to tell His story. Let them be strong and courageous and step out and come before this church and say, I commit this year to tell the story of Jesus. Maybe they need to be saved and baptized and join Dave in the days ahead when we baptize him. Let them come today, Father, and say, I believe in Jesus and I want to be baptized as well. Or maybe someone needs to join this church through letter or statement. Let them move today with a commitment to tell the old story in the new year. Hear us, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.